Our previous discussion, we were talking a lot about the lack of true leadership and confusion, but there's a lady on the line joining us for the very first time to talk about leadership. It's something that she is involved in every day of the week, teaching it, assessing it, judging it. Her name is Renee Geruso. Good morning and welcome to The Pulse, Renee.
Thanks, Robert. Great to be here.
Very, very good. It's at a time where when things are confusing, we're a little uncertain, there's some anxiety around in the community. What we're all really looking for is someone we can get in behind, follow, and get some certainty. Leadership is so, so important at any time, but never more so than right now. But to me, it doesn't look like we've got a lot of good leadership around. For someone who studies it regularly, how are you viewing our world at the moment?
Yeah, look, it is. You're correct. It's a time of uncertainty, and I think now more than ever we need strong leadership, and we're not seeing it without naming names. And I think there's some obvious, you know, leaders out there that I think really haven't stepped up to the plate. I'm a big believer that leadership starts with self-leadership, and I think that's the bit, the foundation that's missing. I think a lot of the leadership, especially within Australia, has just become so sort of fast-paced and reactive that there's none of that solid foundation to lead directly and lead strongly. And I think, you know, Robert, I think it all comes down to ownership. And I think that's the big, big piece that I'm seeing is, you know, leaders need to walk their talk. You know, without getting too nitty-gritty, we've been told in Australia now, you know, to take responsibility of our own actions, yet the people that are, you know, sending that message aren't doing that themselves. And I think it has to start at the top. There has to be ownership and, you know, empathy and trust, and all of those things are missing, and even that vulnerability to say, you know, we've stuffed up, we've done this wrong, or this is what we need to change, and taking ownership, that's not there. And then there's no empathy because of that, and then the public are losing trust. So it's all interlinked.
Renee, let's go back to the very basic principles of leadership. We go back to things that we experience as young people. It might be a school teacher that we look up to. It might be a community leader, a sporting coach. And then you get into maybe a local councillor or your workplace situation, your immediate boss or line manager. From your experience, are there some non-negotiable principles that all good leadership must have, or is there the ability for individuals to bring their own style?
Yeah, I think obviously everyone's unique. Nobody is you, and you need to bring your own style in and your unique traits. But there's definitely, I say there's sort of 12 superpowers to any leader. I think a really important one is focusing on the we, not the I. And Jacinta Ardern is a leader that does that very well. She involves her people. She uses we language, and I think that's important. You know, there's quite a few. Being, I guess, leading with the head, heart and intuition, you know, I think as a leader you need to bring logic into the way you lead, but you also need to bring in compassion and you need to bring in intuition. And I think having balance across that's vital, especially, you know, in this new world that we're all living in. I've mentioned empathy. I'm very big on empathy. Empathy is all about feeling in, you know, and understanding people and letting people be heard. And I think the best leaders, you know, I think of the best school teacher I had showed a lot of empathy when I was going through my parents' divorce when I was quite young. I was in grade 4, and I still remember that teacher sitting me down after school and asking me how I was feeling and was there anything they could do to help. And those things are the things that stand out and help leaders build trust, you know, with the people they serve. A big, big one, Robert, is future thinkers. I think leaders need to be thinking ahead. They need to be planning ahead. They need to be that step in front. And I always say, you know, in a lot of the work we do with business owners and in the corporate world, I say, if you're managing, you're like Robin. If you're leading, you're like Batman. So you're that step ahead and you're actually doing.
It's a really interesting analysis. Let's go to, I'll touch on sport. I remember one of my favourite sporting coaches was a fellow named Stan Elves, and when he was interviewed after a game and his team had lost, he would talk in I have done this, I have done that. He wore the responsibility, and when it was a win, he talked about they. And he immediately gave the credit back to his team who had done all the right things and had the success, and he was happy for them. I can remember that there was no shifting of blame. He took full responsibility on the bad days, and he gave it all off on the good days. And I see that as an outstanding method in sporting coaches. In business, it's very similar. The leaders that they've got a lot of they've got a lot vested. Some have they put their own money on the line to run the business. Some might also be on staff, but they're definitely bought into it. And it's that ownership of responsibility, to me, is the most outstanding feature of good leaders.
It is. And I think ownership, Robert, comes from the heart. I think accountability is, I'll do that. And there's compliance and a bit of commitment. But ownership is really, like you said, you know, if something goes wrong, saying, I made a mistake, this is what I learnt. And I actually have a bit of a, I've just written a book on this called The Gift Mindset. And it's all about embracing and being open to the challenges and mistakes you make and sharing those lessons, because especially as a leader, that could be a survival guide for somebody else.
Renee, I want to touch on something else, and that's the difference in style or instinctive behaviour from female leaders to male leaders. I think Jacinda Ardern is the world stage for us at this part of the world, someone who has jumped up and shown great empathy and compassion. Her detractors will say that that's a sign of weakness, that good leaders can't afford to show weakness, and she's too empathetic and she's too compassionate. We're seeing other world leaders, particularly in the Scandinavian countries, women popping up and doing a really good job. Certainly, name escapes me, Angela Merkel just led Germany. Really strong but compassionate and empathetic. Is there just a natural difference between the styles of women and men leaders?
Yeah, I don't think you can always generalise. You know, I know a lot of women leaders that are very head logical focused. I know some that are more heart focused. But I think, you know, when you talk about, you know, Jacinta Ardern, I just think she's taken a modern approach in a world of what I think is outdated politics. And something you mentioned, she's very open about her weaknesses and her gaps, but she also reinforces her strengths. So I think there's a really nice balance there. And, you know, we all know we've got to embrace diversity, not just gender, but skills, experience, you know, people's different personalities. And I think she does that really well. And look, I have to say across the board, and, you know, I've worked with thousands of leaders, can't really generalise. I think sometimes women might be more open to being a bit more vulnerable and empathetic, but I think there's a lot of males I'm working with that are just, you know, do it just as much or are more open to it now. They know it's a trait of a leader that you need to, you know, really demonstrate.
The other thing that's very important for me for leadership is people accepting change in leadership, the run-of-the-mill punter that looks upon it. And I see in America at the moment there's almost this fear that Joe Biden might move on and Kamala Harris is going to become the president of the U.S. And there's this inherent fear that's not a job a woman can do, that's got to be a man's job. But does that create a few issues for potential strong female leaders, that they're sort of doomed from the start?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, in Australia, I think only 15% of CEOs are actually women. So there's definitely something there. I think it's about, and something I always say, and if you're listening out there and you're female and you're looking for that leadership position or that going, becoming more senior in what you're doing, I really believe if you focus on having the confidence, the capability and the capacity to lead, focus on those things and shine in those things, that can really, really help you get ahead of the pack. And I think, yeah, you know, there's obviously there's still gender issues. That hasn't gone away. It's getting better. I think we're getting a lot more, as you mentioned, there's a lot more female leaders that are demonstrating effective leadership and becoming sort of a model of excellence, so to speak, that other women can, you know, shape themselves around. But, yeah, I think it's my advice, and I work with, you know, males and females and a lot of women in leadership, I say focus on your strengths, do the things that light you up because that'll make you shine. Don't just do what you're good at. Do what you're good at that you enjoy, and stay focused on that, you know, and move forward, progress forward.
We're really blessed, I think, in this region of Geelong where I live, with female leaders. There's some really strong ones. Last year we had three of the four regional councils where the mayors were women. Some of the Barwon Health and Deakin University CEOs, women recent times, really strong, skillful women. So I don't think we're having too much trouble buying into it down here.
No.
And I think even across the board in Australia, maybe not at the very top, I still think there's a large percentage of the population who can't comprehend a female prime minister, although there's plenty talented enough to do it. But it's a slow burn. But do you think we're getting better at accepting that female leaders are capable?
Definitely. We've got good role models now, I think. I don't know if COVID sort of, well, I do. I think it's really pushed it forward. I think more people are being open to self-develop and really follow their heart and their purpose. And I know some females that wouldn't have looked at that next job 2 years ago that are now, you know what, I deserve it. I know I can do it. And I think a lot of people have revisited their purpose. You know, we've got the Great Resignation, which we all know is people reevaluating their lives and wanting to work for a business that leads with purpose. I call it the Great Rejuvenation, Robert, because I think it's a great thing. I think none of it's new. It's just been covered up and now it's being exposed. But, yeah, I think definitely it has come ahead. There's still a lot of work to do, and I think it's men supporting women, women supporting men, and not segregating.
We're coming to the end, not a lot of time. I don't want to put you on the spot with a big one to finish, but I would have thought one of the big issues that was good out of 2021 was the gender equality debate that Grace Tame and Brittany Higgins really pushed forward. I want it to be a major focus at the federal election, and I want the two major parties to be accountable in this space. Do you think it will be, or do you think it'll be washed away with other issues overpowering it?
I think it'll happen, but I think it might be a bit diluted just with the way, you know, this year's kicked off currently. I think that it'll be put on the back burner a bit, but I do believe it will come through this year. I think it has to. It's time, and I don't think it's something that can be swept under the rug anymore.
And if it's successful, of course, it probably opens the door for a lot of potentially strong female leaders who might still just have that foot on the throat a bit. Being held back, that the floodgates might open and we might see a true situation where the skill is credited equally.
Yes, and I look forward to that, and I think, you know, it'll be a milestone that will really set the scene for what happens in the future. So I'm really hoping that all happens. I think, like I said, I think it will, but I think it might be a bit, you know, there are other priorities with what's going on in our country right at this minute, and I think it'll just be pushed down the line a bit.
Renee, thank you so much. First timer on our show. I hope that you're able to come back and chat more about it. It's an issue that I really find fascinating, and after being in the world for so long, you see so many different people trying to lead, some successfully, some not so, and the different styles are always fun to watch, sometimes not so much fun, but leadership style is variable, but it's always entertaining.
And we can always learn, we can always grow, and we can always shift. So I think that's what lights me up in what I do, and I've loved our conversation, Robert.
Thank you very much, Renee Geruso. We hope to have you back. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
That was a good little chat. I enjoyed that, and it's one we might have more of in the future. It's a very look, it's an interesting time. We're screaming out for good stuff. There's not a lot of it, but hopefully it'll get better going forward. I sense a change coming. I sense that people might have the courage to be a bit more visionary. And there's a comment made during that about the style of looking ahead when leading, having some vision of what the world might look like down the track rather than dealing with it on a day-to-day, issue-by-issue basis. We're going to